Two women were living in a time of great expectation. The women were cousins, and each was expecting the birth of her first child at a time when neither had thought she'd be having a baby. Elizabeth, the older of the two, long married and childless, is about to have a son, the one who would grow up to be known as John the Baptist. The other woman, Mary, a teenager and unmarried, will also give birth to a son, the one the angel said would be named Jesus, which means he saves. When Mary learned that her cousin Elizabeth was expecting a child, she hurriedly set off to visit her. And when Mary entered the house and called out to Elizabeth, the child in Elizabeth's womb leaped with joy. And filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth exclaimed to the young Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." To which Mary responded, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." The joy that we hear on this day of these two women is not just spoken, but it literally bursts forth in song. And Mary's song, as it has come to be known, has reverberated throughout the ages as she exclaimed, "For God has looked with favor on his lowly servant." Back in the 1970s, I lived across the street from a young family that had moved to the United States from South Korea. I soon discovered that while working outside in my yard, I would be treated to the sweet sound of singing that would come floating across from the other side of the street. It was not from a radio or it was not recorded music. It was the young Korean wife. She would sing as she watched her children play out in the front yard. She would sing while she trimmed the flowers in her garden. She would sing as she walked from the house to the car. She just sang all the time. So finally, one day I asked her about her habit of singing, and she explained to me that it was a part of her Korean culture, and that it was common for people in her native land to sing in public as they went about their daily lives. For her, it was natural. It was a part of the soundtrack of her life. And she wondered why people in this country didn't do the same. Now, I'd grown up with Disney movies, and I was no stranger to the notion to whistle while you work. But enthusiastic singing in the front yard, that was definitely not my experience, unless it was a group of Christmas carolers. Now, we could certainly be missing something important, this public expression of joy. It's a sign of letting go. It's a sign of not worrying about what anyone else thinks as we uncork the praise that is within us. And what a concept, right? To open our mouths and to spread a little cheer with the voice that God has given us. Now, if you listen closely, this is probably the one time of year when you might find your neighbors and your fellow citizens randomly singing as they go about their chores. You hear it in grocery stores and shopping malls. You hear it in restaurants, maybe even your own living room. Songs of great expectation that come welling up from deep within the soul. You've heard them, right? O come, O ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come, hark the herald angels sing, glory into the world, the Lord has come. We hear singing, we hear music around us this time of year. And it's about joy and expectation. And we can easily feel this way about Mary's song. It is so filled with joy and expectation. It's so familiar. It sounds so sweet, doesn't it? It's so magical, so sentimental. But such feelings can deceive us about Mary's song. They can distract us as to how radical Mary's song truly is. While it begins with unbridled joy, it also proclaims God's intention that the birth of Jesus is meant to turn the world upside down. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones. The rich he has sent away empty. The self-righteous, those who place their hopes in the powers of this world, the pursuers of money and possessions, we're being told, are all chasing false gods. Our God's intention is to shake things up. It's to bring us to repentance. It's to draw our hearts and our minds closer to God. Jesus is about change, not about validation of our lives as they are. And so the anticipation of the birth of Jesus is about welcoming a Savior into our lives, the Holy One of Israel, who will redeem us in ways we cannot fathom or begin to repay. And so it is with Elizabeth and Mary and the faithful in all generations. For us to find our own voices, to find our own voices to proclaim the greatness of the Lord. And let us not hesitate to sing in great expectation for our God who was and is and who is to come. For this is the advent of our joy and our salvation. It is the time of birthing new possibilities. It is the moment for outpouring our praise for the one who created us, redeems us, and makes us holy. And may this not be just for a season, but for all the days of our lives. I've spoken these words to you this day, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.